I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Judges, in the chapter number 7. Seventh chapter of the book of Judges, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Judges chapter 7, commencing to read at verse 1. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into thine hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian were beneath him in the valley. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thine hand be strengthened to go unto the hosts. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned into the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, came unto the outside of the camp, and the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets, and they brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamp in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Bethsitta in Sirarath, and to the borders of Abel-Meloch, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. In chapter number 6, it says in verse number 33, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." I want us to think this morning, first of all, in this chapter here that we have read together, we read about the valley of Jezreel. And if you look throughout the history of the people of Israel, the valley of Jezreel was a place that on many occasions, battle after battle occurred between the children of Israel and their enemies. But you'll notice on each of the occasions, God gave them a mighty deliverance. Even out of the most powerful hands, even out of this great multitude that we read about in the chapter 7 of the book of Judges. And when we look at the valley of Jezreel, it is the valley of deliverances. The valley of deliverances. And surely every child of God can look back on their lives and they can see the hand of God, because they have come to many a valley and God has delivered them in the valley of deliverances. And to them it could be said God delivered them when he brought them into the valley of Jezreel. It was in this valley that you'll know the story about Barak. And you remember his 10,000 men descended from Mount Tabor. And there at the river Kishon they defeated Sisera and his hosts, and how that God once again delivered his children out of the hand of the enemy. But I suppose the most outstanding battle in the battle of Jezreel, or the valley of Jezreel, is the story that is told here in the book of Judges. Because there was a tremendous enemy in the Midianites that were enemies of the children of Israel in the days of Gideon. It was a time whenever the children of Israel had forsaken God. And indeed we find that in that day, God allowed the Midianites to overcome the Israelites. And whenever you read the story there in this battle, or the Midianites, how that they came and they swooped down time after time upon the children of Israel, especially at the time of harvest. And they had put in the crops, and then they were about to reap the harvest. And how the Midianites would come and sweep into the land, and they would take away the corn and the wine and the oil and the cattle. And the people's heart of the children of Israel were broken. And for 7 long years they lived under the terror and under the attacks of the Midianites. And at last, the children of Israel's hearts were finally broken before God, and they cried unto the Lord. Go back to chapter 6 and verse 7. "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you this land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." And because of the sin of his people, we find that the enemy was sweeping in, and it came to the place where finally their hearts were broken before God, and they were a broken people in spirit, and they cried unto God. And God sent them a mighty deliverance. And God sent them a plan of deliverance once again. Now, of course, in the plan of God, there was an instrument. There was a human instrument. And the interesting thing was this. It was just an ordinary lad. There was nothing special in reality of himself. It tells us in verse number 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And so we find that he was in hiding whenever God came. If I read the story of Gideon, there's nothing there in this young lad that would say to me that he's going to be the leader of the children of Israel. He's just an ordinary instrument. In actual fact, there is no sign of greatness in this young fellow, because whenever God came to him, he was in hiding. It didn't seem that this was God's choice. But he was a young man that was happy to thresh there, stand on the threshing floor, seeking to hide as he did his work, hiding from the Midianites. And then God intervened. God came into the story, and you know the Bible says that whenever the Lord came in verse number 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And I believe that Gideon looked round because he couldn't believe that the angel of the Lord was speaking to him. "Thou mighty man of valor." You see, my friend, whenever the Lord said that, God saw the possibilities in this young life when it was yielded to the Lord's will. There was nothing of himself, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of man. We were speaking in the Bible class this morning about whenever Paul was speaking to the Corinthian and writing to the Corinthian church, he spoke about, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what he was saying there is this, we have this treasure in simple clay pots. There was nothing that was of themselves that looked wonderful about the clay pots. They were just earthen vessels. The rulers of that day, whenever they would, when they would go and take from, perhaps in one of their journeys, in one of their battles, they would take gold and silver from the people that they had captured. They would take that gold and silver and they would put it into clay pots. Because whenever someone would come to them, they would simply see the old clay pots and they'd never think that inside the clay pots would be the most precious diamonds or the most precious gold or silver. Friend, whenever Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, there's nothing of us, there's nothing in us, there's nothing beautiful to look upon us, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Friend, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And whenever the Lord came and sent the angel to Gideon, there was nothing beautiful and nothing wonderful about him, but this is what the angel of the Lord said. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And there he's in hiding. And I believe that Gideon would look around and say, you know, it can't be me, because I'm just an ordinary fellow. And there's nothing about valor in me. There's nothing courageous in me, because I'm hiding here as I would seek to hide from the Midianites lest they come and take away the grain. But when God said that, God saw the possibilities of a life that was yielded to him. I look into this congregation, I see both young and old, friend, and I say this, what possibilities in this congregation? If you and I were totally and completely yielded unto the Lord and let God use us. Because even though that we have, that we're but earthen vessels, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of man. You say to me, but I'm nothing. Friends, I'll tell you this, it's whenever you see that you are nothing that God's ready to use you. Because if you really feel that you are something, then God can't use you. Because you want to take away the glory from him. And God will not give his honor and God will not give his glory to anybody else. Because in all things, he will have the preeminence. And when you and I see ourselves just like Gideon, and Gideon was there on that threshing floor, and the angel of the Lord came, And he said, the sword of the Lord, or the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And friend, the truth was this, they were as they were, and because of their sin. They had sinned against the Lord, they had taken their eyes off God, and they had focused their eyes on other things, and they lost the vision. And when they lost the vision, they lost the power. And when they lost the power of God, they lost their effectiveness and were no longer able to stand against the enemy. And when the enemy swept in and came upon them like a flood, they had nothing to stand against them with. Because the excellency of the power was not of them. And the victories that God had given them in the past, even the deliverance out of Egypt, friend, let me tell you, that wasn't of man. That was all of God. All of God. For the excellence of the power was of God and not of men. And let's be quite honest. When I read those verses there in verse 13, when I read that, Gideon's discouraged. And he says, where is? Why then? Where be? He's discouraged. Thank God, I believe there's comfort here for you and me, because incapable of accomplishing anything else that was great for God, friend, but God delighted to take up the likes of Gideon. And here was the secret, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? There's the first secret. God says, listen, you're chosen of me. You're chosen of me. Just as Apostle Paul, God said, he's a chosen vessel. He may have been a rough vessel. He may have been an earthen vessel. But God says he is a chosen vessel. And that's what God says to Gideon. He says, listen, Gideon. He says, go in this thy might, because, you see, have not I sent thee? He was discouraged. He says, how can I go? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Lord, how can I go? What can I do? And God says, here's the secret. He says, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And then go to the second secret, verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. And friend, not only does God send his people, but thank God he gives his power to his people. And God says, listen, I'm going with thee. You're not going alone. You're not facing this enemy alone. Here's the secret. I will be with thee, because I have sent thee. And Gideon's heart that had been discouraged, friend, be honest, he had a lack of faith. He had a lack of confidence because of all the things that had happened to him. And he says, God, I want you to be patient with me. And God, I want to put a fleece upon the ground. And God, I want you to put the dew just upon the fleece. But on the ground, Lord, don't put any dew. I want to know, Lord, that this is of you. I want to know that this is of you, Lord. And God, I want you to work a miracle here. I want you to put the water in the fleece. And friend, the morning came, and there was no dew on the ground, but there was dew in the fleece, and he wrung it out. God had answered prayer, and then Gideon said, God, please. Please, God, forgive me, but please, be patient with me. God, I want you to do something else. I want you to put the water on the ground, but none on the fleece. And friend, I see the tender heart of God here. Because this child was asking God, even though God had promised to be with him, and God had promised to, God said, listen, I have sent you, but God is sublimely patient because he grants the sign unto Gideon, and the morning came, and the water was upon the ground, but there was nothing on the fleece. It was completely dry. And Gideon knew that God was in the midst of this. You know, whenever you and I are called of God to witness for him, friend, it's not the excellency of our own wisdom that we're going in. Because let's be honest, if we go in our own power and our own wisdom, then God can't use it. And God won't use it. Because the excellence of the power has got to be of God and not of man. That all the glory, that all the honor, that all the praise will be of the Lord. And so Gideon, he calls the people. And the people come in their 32,000 people gathered, men, to fight the battle. Down there in the valley of Jezreel, there's an army that's so mighty. And so many, it was a multitude of people, friend. And 32,000 had come, and God spoke unto Gideon. He said, Gideon, listen, he said, the people that are with thee are too many. Because if you were to go into battle with the Midianites, and now you were to win this battle, but God says, I'm going to give you the victory. But you'll say that this victory is mine, not of God. You know, God's a jealous God. He'll not give his glory to anybody else, friend. No man dare put his hand upon the glory of God. And so God said to Gideon, send those that are fearful home. Just send them home, friend. Be honest, listen. 22,000 men walked out of the army. 2/3 of his army was gone. They were fearful. Maybe there's some in this place this morning in God's house, friend. Listen, God has called you to battle for him. And to be honest, you're standing with the men that have gone home because you're not going for God. You're not witnessing for God because you're fearful. Maybe you've been asked to do something for God, friend, and you've turned aside from it. And listen, you know deep in your heart that you're an instrument of God and you're to be a witness for him, but you're not witnessing for him. You're not being the light that God has sent you into your workplace or into the factory or whether it be in the farm or wherever it be. God wants you to be a witness for him, and you've been silent instead of speaking up because you're fearful. God says, send the fearful home. 22,000 men went home, friend. And God looked and he saw the 10,000. God said, Gideon, still too many. This is my battle. And God says, in actual fact, the 10,000, instead of being a help in the battle, they'll only be a hindrance. And God says, I can't deliver the Midianites into your hand because they're too many for me. So God says, I want you to take them down to the water. And I want you to take them down to the water's edge and let them, because they're thirsty, let them get some water. And he says, I'm going to put them to a test there. And God says, I want you to divide them out. And he said, the men that lap the water, I put them aside, and the men that kneel down and they take the water, he said, I want you to put them on the other side. There was 9,700, friend, that got down on their knees. And they drank the water. 300 lapped it. You see, those men, let me tell you, friend, they knew there was an enemy out there. And by getting down on their knees to take the water, they were in ways disarming themselves. And they were getting down. They weren't ready for the battle at any time. But the 300 men, they just took the water up in their hand and they lapped it like a dog. But they were watching out for the enemy. And God says, you see the 9,700, he said, send them home. God says, these are the army. This is the army. And Gideon looked on them, friends. Listen, there was 300 men. We know God's a patient God and a loving God and a tender God, isn't he? Because he said to Gideon, he said, Gideon, verse chapter 7, verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the hosts, for I have delivered it into thine hand. And then God said this, but if thou fear to go, he says, I want you to take your servant, and I want you to go to the verge of the camp, and I want you to listen what's going on. And friend, Gideon was afraid. He couldn't understand. Why would God send, out of 32,000 people, why would God send the most of them home and back to their place? And here was a mighty army was against them. What can he do with 300 men? Let me tell you, friend, it wasn't the 300 men. It was God was his deliverance. Maybe this morning you've got your eyes upon man, friend. It is so easy for you and me to get our eyes upon man and we get our eyes up the Lord. And when we see the Midianites scattered against us as a multitude, we are overcome with fear. And God sent Gideon down. And you know, we heard two men talking. And one man said, you know, I dreamed a dream. And lo, verse 13, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and it came onto the tent, and it smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And the other man, his fellow, answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the sword of Joash, or the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his hosts. And you see, whenever Gideon heard that, my, his heart was encouraged. And he was blessed because he knew that God was going to give him a mighty deliverance. And so he went back to the 300 men. And now, friend, God has taken away his discouragement. He's not going in despair. He's not going discouraged. Glory to God. He's going in power. He has been energized by the power of God, and he is going in the victory of the Lord. And so he goes back to the 300 men and he says, listen, get your pitchers in your hands and get your sword in your, and get your trumpet. And he says, we're going into the camp of the enemy. And he says in verse 17, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And he divided them in three companies. And he took one of the companies, and yes, we find that the other companies, they were sent to the place where God had chosen, and they had circled the enemy about, friend. But there was only 300, and there was an enemy down there in the valley of Jezreel, a multitude. But it was the valley of deliverances. And he says, watch me. Let me tell you, friend, everything depended on Gideon's men watching him carefully. In other words, following his lead. What an awful tragedy if those men had not been willing to do it. You know, this seems stupid. Trumpets and pitchers. You know, we're going to be sacrificed here. This man's making a fool of us. What an awful tragedy, friend. Gideon says, look on me and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall he do. And he says, when I blow a trumpet, he says, I and all that are with me blow the trumpet. Then blow ye the trumpet also, and every side of all the camps and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Let me tell you, friend, blowing the trumpet took courage. Don't you dismiss that. Because you see, the blowing of that trumpet, nothing else would take greater courage, because the blowing of the trumpet was the sound and the announcement of war. And Gideon said, when I blow the trumpet, what I'm doing is this, I'm blowing the alarm, the war, the battle is on. But remember, when you blow the trumpet, there's no going back. There's no going back. It was a declaration of war. It didn't take a timid lip to blow the trumpet, friend. It took a man of courage, because he was committing himself to the battle. You know, I was reading over in the book of Isaiah. In the chapter 58, it says this, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. And when the preacher stands in the pulpit, friend, and as our young brethren stand in the pulpit in the youth mission, let me tell you, they're blowing the trumpet, friend. And they're preaching against sin. And I'll tell you, that takes courage. Because once a preacher does that, he throws down the gauntlet to the devil's crowd that the battle's on. And let me tell you, there's no greater battle than that which is fought between the devil's crowd and the Lord's anointed. And the devil comes in, and the forces of hell come in like a flood. And when God's servant blows the trumpet and he's called of God, spare not. And God says, son of man, warn them from me. Let me tell you this, my friend. He's throwing down the gauntlet to the enemy, and the battle starts. And the devil will rise up, and the forces of hell will rise up and seek to destroy. But there was not only the blowing of the trumpet. He says, I want you to do something else. He says, I want you to break the pitcher. Because you see, the lamps had been hid inside the pitcher. The light had been hid. And he says, I want you to break it. And whenever you break the pitcher, the light will be seen. You know, let me tell you, friend, before the light can be seen of Christ, the pitcher's got to be broken. And before you and I can show forth the glory of God, friend, let me tell you, the vessel God has to break. Sometimes God has to break us, friend, because, to be honest, there's a stubbornness in us. There's a self-willingness. There's a self-sufficiency in us. And somehow, whenever we go into God's battle, we think we can go in the flesh, friend. And let me tell you, we are facing an enemy. And I tell you, you and I go to battle in the flesh, I'll tell you, we will suffer defeat. You and I can't fight the battle of the Lord in the flesh. And you and I, to fight the battle and to let the light of the Lord Jesus shine before the world, friends, let me tell you, we have to have the pitcher broken. The vessel has got to be broken. You know what sometimes that means? Sometimes that means that God has to break the body. Sometimes that means physical breaking as well as spiritual breaking. And friend, you look at the history of the Christian church and many of God's choicest that God has used in the history of the Christian church, you'll find that God, in spite of their frailty, in spite of their delicate bodies, God used them mightily. And let me tell you, it was quite often because that they were broken physically, that their total dependence was upon the Lord. I was reading about Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor was the missionary to China. And Hudson Taylor said this, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Their eyes were upon the Lord. Their dependence was upon the Lord. Amy Carmichael in India, in the last 20 years of her life, friend, she knew a broken body. Frances Ridley Havergill, Franny Crosby, in writing of the lovely hymns that you and I sing, so many of her hymns in this church. And never forget that her body was broken, friend. And even her heart was broken. But thank God through it, God used. Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher, died at the age of 30. And all he had was a brief years, 6 years of ministry. But in the front of his Bible, he wrote these words, I'll preach as though I ne'er shall preach again. And does it hang, man? To hang, man. Friend, we need to be broken. We need to be broken. It's so easy to say, oh God, break me. But I believe with all my heart that if you and I are not broken before the Lord cannot use us as the way that God wants to use us. You and I cannot be useful in His hand, because I'll tell you this, not only did they blow the trumpet and they announced the declaration of war, they threw the gauntlet down to the enemy. And not only did they break the pitcher, but then the next thing they said and the last thing, they give a shout. They give a shout, and they shouted these words in verse number 18, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Oh, they weren't defeated. There were only 300 of them. There was a multitude against them, but praise God, they weren't discouraged. They weren't downcast. They weren't in despair. Their eyes were upon the Lord. And Gideon said, as I do, so do ye. Because he was anointed of God to lead. He gave a shout. They give a shout. But friend, do you notice the difference in Gideon's shout than that which was given whenever Gideon went down to the host of Midian? Here's a little thought in no time's away. Go back to verse 14. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian. That's what man said. But that wasn't the shout of Gideon. It wasn't the sword of Gideon. For God has given them into his hand. His shout was, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You see, the Lord was first. And he knew this battle was a battle for God, friend. This wasn't man's battle. Some years ago, there was an old preacher listening to a young fellow who came to preach in his church. And to be honest, the young fellow was an eloquent preacher. Many people had thought that he was very powerful and eloquent in his speech, and how he could turn an audience to be amazed and to be taken with his oratory and his power of words. In the congregation, there's an old preacher sitting there. And someone said to him, he said, you know, Pastor, there's something missing. There's something missing. And the old preacher said, yes. And it won't be there until his heart is broken. And it won't be there until his heart is broken. We sang a hymn this morning, Is Your Life a Channel of Blessing? Are you burdened for those who are lost? Is there a burden on your heart this morning? Can you cry like the godly man of Scotland who said, God, give me Scotland or I die. God, I'd rather die than let Scotland go to hell. Friend, we might have the excellency of the words, but we'll never know the excellency of the power until we're broken at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee this morning, the hymn writer said, emptied that Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thine hand. Lord, we confess today that until we're emptied of self and emptied of sin, that we can't be those clean vessels. And I pray, O God, this morning with all my heart, that Thou wilt empty me of any dependence I have upon other things. And, O God, fill me with the power of Thy Holy Spirit. I pray for my brethren and my sisters. I pray for the family of God that, O God, that Thou wilt focus us afresh on Jesus, that we might preach Christ and Him crucified. And Father, for those that are not saved, please, God, in mercy, stop them today and bring them to the cross, lest they perish without Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.